this is now the third week of Advent already. And if you remember that our readings in the first part of Advent, that first Sunday of Advent, had to do with how our lives are sort of, well, they can be sort of messed up, like dirty rags, you know. And when we come to the Lord, we bring our lives that way. And He is willing to work with us to the point that we can present ourselves sanctified, nice and clean and white. So we prepare for whatever cloth God's bringing us this week. What's interesting about this passage in Isaiah 61 is it's not isolated to the Old Testament. In fact, it's a passage that we see in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. It's the scripture that Jesus used Himself to introduce Himself to His own hometown. And He basically said, hey, folks, this prophecy that Isaiah gave us in the past is fulfilled today in your presence. Now think about that a moment. Have you ever had that situation where something you knew was going to happen in the past actually happened in your presence? Scripture being fulfilled right there, in reality, right there in your own hometown. Doesn't it sound cool? Now, how exactly would we really accept that? What we know from Scripture is that Jesus' hometown didn't take it real well. In fact, they tried to take Him to the edge of town and kill Him. Throw Him off a cliff, you know. That's not quite the welcome I want when I come home. Once in a while I get to preach in my home congregation down in Kansas, and they haven't thrown me off the cliff yet. That's nice. But you know, sometimes, I don't know whether it's the same with you, sometimes the most precious words, sometimes the most wonderful declarations, we greet with mixed reactions. Now think about it a little bit. If you were the girl and the guy was proposing to you and you weren't ready, ladies, how did that feel? Oh dear. Or the guy who is getting a promotion that sort of comes as a shock. There's nothing ahead of time, and all of a sudden he gets this promotion and the boss comes and brings this good news, and the guy says, wow, that's great. And then he thinks, oh no, that means we have to move. It means change. Or the sudden change in schedule that will mess up your entire week. It's good news, and it's great. You've been praying for this thing to happen for a long time, but it's going to change your entire week. One of the things that's interesting about the Bible, and it says it over and over and over again, is that as Jesus comes close, things will change. That's why this wonderful prophecy actually being fulfilled in the presence of Jesus' hometown made people uncomfortable, because it meant they would have to change the way they looked at Jesus. And it meant that the Savior had come and they weren't quite ready. Is it possible that they weren't ready for anything to change? In other words, they'd become comfortable living as God's people under the umbrella of Rome. And they'd become comfortable with that. And as this was declared in their presence, that means the Savior is here and things are going to change. And oh my, am I ready for that? God's desire is to bring salvation. And God will bring salvation. That verse 11 at the end of that passage, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up from all the nations. God's hand is not going to stop working. And His salvation will come. His desire is to bring that salvation and give us freedom from all of Satan's attacks, from all the mistakes that we've made. But we must be open for God to change the world around us. We need to be open for God to change us and the situations that we're in. And the problem is that sometimes we might be just like the people of Jesus' hometown. We just don't want to invite Jesus to make changes in our life. We get in the way of Him doing so. What's interesting about this scripture is, it's based on talking about marriage. An intimate, holy relationship with God. God desires that this relationship will ultimately change us and bless us, and it will, through us, bless others. But in order for this to happen, we need to be ready for change, because things will change. Our prayer of confession this morning, if you would share it with me. Faithful God, we trust You because You love justice for all Your people. You bring joy to mourners. You scatter the proud to lift up the lowly. You give relief to the poor. Yet we wear blinders and cannot see when we may be on the side of injustice. Too often we become the oppressors and do not comfort the hungry and the weak. Forgive us for spirits that proudly dominate others. Forgive us for souls tied to the pursuits of power. Forgive us for bodies enslaved by accumulation and pleasure. In Your great goodness, forgive our sin. Amen. That scripture comes as Paul gives it to the Thessalonians in his first letter to them. And it's obvious that the Thessalonians are Christians. We'll see if this is a fashion statement or not. But the difference between the first scripture and the second is the fact that Jesus came. The difference between the first scripture and the second is the fact that Jesus came. Let's stop for prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, merciful Almighty God, we thank You. We thank You for this Christmas season that reminds us more than any other time of the year, except Easter, that You love us, You're drawing near to us, and You seek us. Lord, guide the words that are spoken. Lord, guide the words that we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. That song, you guys, Here I Am thing. I should put a note in the thing that we don't sing that song just before the sermon. Here I am, Lord. That comes from a heart that is yielded to Almighty God. It's a heart that says, hey, Lord, where You take me, I'll go. Where You want me to go, I'll go. What You want me to say, I'll say. What You want me to do, I'll do. A yielded heart. Brothers and sisters, God desires to show the fullness of His love to us. But the problem is, things must change. In other words, things must change in us. And we must allow God to do His changes around us. Because it, one way or another, flips everything on top of its head. Notice what Paul talks about with the Thessalonians as compared to what Isaiah was talking about. Comfort, comfort, my people. Let's draw this thing together. I'm going to be like your bridegroom. I'm going to draw near to you. I will be your comfort and your peace. That's what this is supposed to. Anybody have a robe at home? Nobody wears a robe anymore. He does. Okay, very good. God desires to be close to us. I mean, I have a lazy boy chair. When I want those relaxed moments, those comfortable moments, I retire to the lazy boy. Anybody else have that spot in your life that you retire to when you want to be comfortable? My, we have an awful lot of uncomfortable people. So in other words, the Isaiah piece says, I want to come close. I want to be comfortable with you. I want you to be comfortable with me, says God. And we're going to do this thing together. When we come to the Thessalonians passage, that's part of our litany this time of year, it says we're already there. And he gets us some pieces that should be evidences of that. And this pray, joyful always. Be joyful always. Now, I know that everybody is affected by my joy. You can see it every day, right? I hide it fairly carefully. I disguise it well. But the joy that the Christian has goes beyond the current situation. In other words, the transformed heart by Jesus Christ has a joy that they can carry into even concentration camps and be there in the midst of pain and suffering and trial and tribulation and carry that joy into those situations. Can carry a joy into a week like we had last week and know that that's part of why we're transformed, because even in those times, we carry a joy that is beyond our understanding. We should pray continually. And I remember when I first met Charlene's grandmother, and she wore this little doily, it had this covering thing that she wore all the time. Of course, I was a seminary student. I didn't know any better, and I hadn't been around any Mennonites that did that to that point in time. And so I asked her, so if it's a prayer veiling, why do you wear it all the time? And she said, because the scripture says pray continually, so I wear my covering all the time. Well, that's pretty smart. But when we as Christians are engaged with God so closely that our plan and His plan are part of each other, and we yield our day's activities to His activities, won't we also make every moment of every day a part of prayer? Where we're actively seeking in one way or another, that in that moment, the Father's will be done. Because we're so close and we want it. For some of us, that might mean change. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's a hard one, isn't it? That's one of those cutting-edge pieces for us as Christians, to give thanks in every circumstance. That means that we have to give thanks in that, oh, you've got to be kidding, circumstance. Any of you have those regularly? Oh, you've got to be kidding. This couldn't be happening right now. That means that we as Christians who are transformed take those situations that, oh, you've got to be kidding. Okay, Lord, there must be something going on here. We'll follow your lead. And then it says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Can you get it any more plain? That for us as Christians, this transformation will happen. Paul puts this test in here, sort of say, are you up to speed, Thessalonians? To basically say that living in this relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior will change things. It will change things. And I am finding that as a 60-year-old Christian who's been a Christian for way longer than I'd like to admit, who's been a pastor for 35 years, I'm still doing that. I'm still finding that as I walk with God, with Jesus as my Savior, God continues to give me those moments of areas where I'm, oh, yeah, I need to give that over to the Lord. I need to grow in this area a little bit more. Maybe I ought to let my joy show a little bit once in a while. Living into that relationships means that my old earth understanding, my old flesh understanding needs to continually be worn off, taken off, in order for me to embrace this wonderful relationship that God is continually calling me into. Can I nudge you with a thought? Our relationship with Jesus Christ should be so tight. We should be so tight with Jesus that it would be like we're going steady. Ah, somebody caught it over here. It should be that time of our relationship. See, marriage is still coming yet. It should be that time in our relationship with Jesus where we so seek His heart for us, for our family. We seek His heart for those around us. We seek His heart for the church. We seek His heart for our community. That we will continue to lay our lives down in such a way that He can change our plans this very day. He can change who we're taking to lunch this noon. He can change who we're going to meet on the highway. And we'll realize that those situations, those times, are God ordained for us to be a little bit of Jesus with the world around us. God's goal is, in one way or another, we will be able to put a comfort into this world of all those prisoners that are still in bondage, all those who are blind, who need someone to guide, all the places that are broken can somehow be mended, and they can find that place of comfort in Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. He says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to everything good. Avoid everything evil. That basically is talking about our walk in the Spirit, our walk in this relationship. And our walk in this relationship will continue to mean change. Change of all of our normal points of reference. Because He's alive and living in us. May God Himself, the God of Shalom, putting the pieces back together, set us apart as holy all the way through, not just certain parts. May our entire spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He ends by saying, the one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. That means things will change. Let us pray. O loving Heavenly Father, merciful Almighty God, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for pursuing us and pursuing a relationship with us. We thank You, Lord, for Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Savior. And we thank You that He showed the fullness of His love upon the cross. Lord, change us. Lord, many of us are willing for change. Guide us, lead us. for your kingdom's sake, for your honor and glory, and for the glorifying of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Let it be so, Lord. Amen.